I'm Molly Kimball. Welcome to Fueled, a wellness and nutrition podcast. I'm a registered dietitian and nutrition journalist with a passion to help people live their strongest, healthiest life possible. In my weekly TV segments and columns, there's a limited amount of time and space to cover everything, but there's so much more to share. This podcast is my opportunity to dive deeper into the topics you want to know about. All right, so welcome to our podcast, Fueled Wellness and Nutrition. I'm super excited to have my friend Ben McLaughlin here. He is one of my favorite people on the planet, also talented baker and helps to kind of...
Molly, you are too kind and sweet. Thank you.
Makes these nutritious, delicious baked goods that you're going to want to... You're going to be hungry by the time you're done listening to this podcast.
We hope so.
So Ben and I do a monthly TV segment where I do a weekly TV segment on our ABC affiliate here. Ben joins me monthly where we basically, you take a lot of your favorite recipes, kind of the recipes that you grew up loving.
Yep.
Make them healthier and
a little better for you.
Yeah. So we're going to share with you a lot of strategy and kind of Ben's approach of how to do it, how you can kind of start to think through that at home, ways that he cuts out the flour, kind of how he remakes them using the sugar replacers and stuff like that. Ben's official title is Director of Sales for Swerve Sweetener.
That's correct.
I might have said Serve, but Swerve Sweetener.
Yeah.
But unofficially, you kind of have that title of Bakery R&D. So yeah. Taking the sweetener and also seeing how do you do these remakes.
Yeah, we have a great team in our office of people who just want some better for you options in their homes, but also for our customers. And that's just what we love doing.
As you're listening to this, you may say, well, wait a minute, is this an ad for Swerve? It isn't. But
yeah.
I'll share. So Swerve, and it's a sweetener. It's a natural plant-based sweetener. So if you're hearing this and you're like, what are they saying? You're going to hear us say it a lot because it is a sweetener that we use in place of sugar.
Yep.
And so all the time, if I'm looking at how do we cut the sugar, which we're always looking for ways that we can cut out added sugar, I'm always going to look for ways to also keep it as natural as possible. So plant-based natural sweeteners, which Swerve is. Swerve is locally based here in New Orleans, which is correct. Where I am.
Yeah.
So I've known the Swerve team pretty much since they created the product and been a big fan of it for a bunch of reasons. It's measures cut for cup like sugar.
Yeah.
It caramelizes, bakes just like sugar, gives that moisture
like sugar. It's important.
Yeah. So all those things. I mean, if you're listening to this and you go, where would I find it? It's in your regular... It's in a lot of grocery stores.
It's nationwide.
In Canada. And if you say, I'm listening to this, but I've already got my other favorite sweetener, as long as it's a plant-based natural sweetener that's no calorie, we're good to go with it. So as we're saying all this about Swerve, make that substitution in your head for what you've got that might be your preference. What I would say, though, is if you've been using like the pink, blue, or yellow, they don't work that well in baking. So try kind of branching out and trying some of these other products. Plus, they're artificial. They're kind of chemically processed
and
created.
Well, you lose a little bit of that bulk because they're high intensity.
Yes. So tell us about your title, like we said, is Director of Sales, but how did you get into this whole baking side of things?
I always say that I'm a country cook who likes to get messy in the kitchen, and that's just the way I look at it. Listen, I say if you've cooked and you don't make a mess, then you didn't do it right.
I think I do it right every time then because it's in my hair.
You're the best. And when we do stuff together, I'm always getting you messy.
Right.
So it just happens. So I've always cooked. I grew up with my grandmother and my mother cooking and baking for us. So they were inspiration for a lot of recipes. And so when I started working with Swerve, I realized, again, that's the sugar replacement. I just realized that what do our customers want? Why are they using Swerve? I'd never used a sugar replacement before, and I'd never been an alternative baker as far as using like your almond flours and your coconut flours and that kind of thing.
But you did bake, but you were using things like Paula Deen's cookbook. And
I was going with like Martha Stewart and Paula Deen and Bon Appetit and Food and Wine. Anything that I thought looked pretty and delectable and would be fun to serve to people, listen, I was serving it up.
And that's what I think is really cool because you take these kind of favorites.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're classic favorites, things that you grew up having, or things that are trendy now that people are bringing to parties, but they're not healthy or whatever.
Right.
And not only do you make them nutritious and delicious, but you also make them gorgeous.
I do my best. You know, I think it depends on likes, what your tastes are. But I do my best because I think, you know, your eye is your window to your stomach. So if you're looking at food and your stomach is deciding based on how you're seeing it, do I want it? It better look pretty. It better look good. It better look like it was made with sugar.
And you kind of will slip things into people where they may not realize. You'll bring it to a tailgate or a party, kind of put it there, but you don't always announce that it's...
It's one of my favorite things. So I have a little phrase like, you got swerved. Because what I do is I will bring a better for you option, and it may be a little lower carb and that kind of thing. Maybe cupcakes, or it could be Some sort of even like a spinach dip.
And then that way, you know, you've got it to fall back on.
Yes.
But there's so many people that you're not being a pain or you're not being preachy by bringing that, because there's so many people who are watching it anyway.
I believe people want options. Yeah. Listen, you know, that's just the way I feel about it. That tastes good. But what I'll often do is if I know that they want it, I may whisper to them. If I know the audience, you know, hey, try that out. Most people I will not announce though or tell them. I will wait, let them try it. And then again, after they tried, I tell them they got swerved. And then we go into a little bit of education on why that was better for you, but still, how did it taste so good?
Right. I love that, because people will have the want. They have in their head that they want to eat healthier, but they're nervous to make changes to their favorite dishes.
Yes.
Because they're afraid they're not going to like it.
Yeah. You know, change is hard. It's hard for a lot of people. And when you don't see the typical ingredients of like your milk and your eggs and your butter and your sugar, it's just like, well, what am I supposed to do with that?
Right. Very unfamiliar.
Yeah. And that's kind of why we're here today. Kind of talk through some of those baby steps.
Yeah. So if you're looking at some of your favorite recipes, tell us also, like, when you kind of first started doing this, because how do you go from the Paula Deen, Martha Stewart approach that is just sugar, 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 butter, salt, and white flour? How do you even take it? Like, what's your first steps?
Well, sure. So my first step is that I would typically look at just the sugar content. So if it called for a cup of sugar, I would use a cup of Swerve because that's my sweetener of choice. But I would stick to the normal ingredients.
So it still had the white flour.
Flours, butter, egg, all that good stuff. I would still stick to that. I would test it out with sugar. And then I would take my baby steps to remove the white flour, you know, and they were even going as far as whole wheat pastry flour. I would go to that step. But then I started working towards almond and coconut, which is where we are after like 4 years in my evolution of baking.
And I think that if there's one big change that we're going to make to especially baked goods, is getting the sugar out. That's huge. And so, and that's again, something that you're not changing a lot about that dish. You're making that one step. And that is, if you're only going to do one thing, do that and get comfortable with that. And then the next thing you were saying, when you first started getting comfortable.
Well, I want to come back to the sugar piece just a little bit, just because I want to make it clear that in no way am I, or even Swerve as a company, are we like anti-sugar, but we do believe in moderation, which I think probably as a dietitian you would agree or maybe not.
You know what? It's actually one of those phrases that I think is overused.
Do you hate that phrase?
I hate the phrase, actually.
Let's talk about it.
Everything in moderation. I'm like, I want to know how much.
Okay.
The everything in moderation, I think people can.
You think
like,
it's an excuse?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I hear what you're saying.
I would never say it again. I would never say it again.
But I get what you're saying. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about Swerve as a company is y'all aren't preachy or finger wagging, and you want to educate people about plant-based sweeteners. And if someone goes halvesies on real sugar and Swerve, well, that's a win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're really just about vitality and being your best self. And if that can happen by taking some sugar out of your life and not having a blood sugar roller coaster or that kind of thing, then, you know, we fully support that.
And that is one of those things that someone may say, well, if I'm going to be my strongest, happiest self, if I just got to cut out some sugar, I can be. Yes.
Magic.
Right. But really, when we look at how does all that sugar leave us feeling?
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of times people feel rotten as kind of their baseline because of what they're putting in their bodies. And we are on this constant roller coaster of sugar. And then they don't even realize that their kind of average, everyday, normal is feeling pretty crummy.
Yeah.
But then when you pull back that sugar, you just feel so much more solid, so much more energy. You're not having these strong dips.
Yeah.
So
I know that's how I feel. Is that how you feel also?
Oh my gosh.
Like even in customers or clients that you've worked with, do they talk about similar experiences when y'all 100%, talk through some of this?
And especially looking at what time of the day you're starting that.
Okay.
So if you're having breakfast that is some sort of a sugary pastry,
yeah,
there's not even a question that you're going to want to be curled up for a nap later, or you're going to be looking for more sugar for that pick me up.
Okay.
You know, so I'll often say if you wanted to have that sweet, save it for at least after lunch.
Yep.
Where you've had your protein base of your breakfast, your lunch, and then if you had whatever it was at lunch that maybe you were going to have some sort of whole grain with it, even have less of that whole grain, but keep your protein in there and then have a little bit of that sweet treat.
Okay.
So you're kind of having that as your carb source. But if you go with just on an empty stomach and you have that sugar in there right off the bat, roller coaster.
Expect for the worst.
Bad news.
You may enjoy
people.
It when it goes in.
There's not much else we can do worse for our bodies.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
No, it is
good
very
to know
serious.
You have taught me something.
But so taking that sugar out, hands down, the most important thing. But as you're kind of still getting comfortable with it, all right, so white flour to whole wheat flour, the conversion's pretty similar there on measurement.
That's correct.
But one thing that Ben and I talked about as he kind of started, we were doing more and more of these kind of projects and developments was, well, there's not really any difference in white flour in the carbs to whole wheat flour. So carbs and calories are about the same. And you meant, you have used white rice flour, potato starch.
Yeah, I've played around with quite a few of them. And I just know that with, you know, like you just said, potato, white rice, I found myself drawn towards the almond flours and the coconut flours. A little lower carb.
A lot lower carb.
Molly, I'm glad you're here. And I also just enjoy working with them. They've just been a little easier for me.
Yeah. So I would say if you're listening to this and you're kind of like, all right, I'm going to start dialing back the sugar. I'm going to switch out my flours, get rid of that all-purpose flour, replace it with something else. That whole wheat flour or the whole wheat pastry flour is a little bit finer texture. That's a fine first step, but you're not doing that much savings there. And same with the rice flour, same with the potato starch. If you're really looking at how can I really improve this dish, almond flour, coconut flour are the two that are the most common. And you also see those in a lot of recipes online as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you said that because here's the thing. We don't want to scare y'all.
Right.
Because it can be like, okay, I'm removing sugar, now I'm removing flour, and then no Molly, she'll say coconut oil in place of butter, because yeah, she does that with
Ben
me.
Ben doesn't measure it in tablespoons of butter. He measures it in sticks of butter.
Listen, if it doesn't have butter, I'm not sure if it's good.
So I'm always like, but we can replace coconut oil, right?
Exactly. Can we do? And then Nutiva has a great coconut oil that is butter flavored.
Yes.
Because that was my main concern with coconut oil back in the day when you were trying to, again, my evolution of baking the last 4 years. When you tried to get me away from butter a little bit, use some plant-based oils, is that I didn't want to lose that butter flavor or even some of the color.
Yeah. So if you're baking, we talk sugar, we'll come back to flour some more. But on the note of butter, you know, of course, things like olive oil are great healthy oils. You can't use that in baking.
No.
And you need something that's going to hold that.
Well, there is an olive oil cake, but that's because you want that flavor.
Okay. And we'll have to do that one. Uh-huh. But for butter, coconut oil measures essentially cup for cup like butter and still kind of gives that firmness to that product that butter has. What Ben's talking about, there's a product called Nutiva. It's Nutiva. They make a coconut oil, but they also make a butter-flavored coconut oil. And I'm excited because it's in Walmart.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And so it's not anything wacky, though. It's all organic, clean ingredients. But it's the color of butter. It has that flavor of butter.
Yes.
Not just like butter, but it's pretty
right.
close.
No, yeah. It excites me.
So we use that a lot of times. When Ben says, I use a stick of butter, and I say, could we use coconut oil? Then that Nutiva butter-flavored coconut oil is kind of the compromise.
Yes. Okay. So the point of where we even got lost on that coconut oil and butter, a little tangent, but yet educational, is that there are tons of recipes online that you can start with and use without having to recreate the wheel, just if you want to start doing some of these things.
And when you're working with those two flours, almond flour and coconut flour, like kind of what's the main difference for people to be aware of as they're using those?
Well, yeah. So with the almond flour, what I've found that it is a little bit more wet. At times you get the oil or the fat, I guess you would say, from almonds. And coconut oil is a little bit more dry, you know? And I think you had a nice little way you remembered it.
Well, yeah. So almonds, you think of almond oil or just the fats from there. And if you're pressing the almond flour, you can even feel the moisture in it.
I really like this. So you're talking about like dried coconut.
Dried coconut.
And it makes total sense. So what happens is that with coconut flour, it can pull some of those liquids into the coconut flour that you need in your baked good.
It's like a sponge.
Yeah. So oftentimes I prefer almond flour with just a little bit of coconut just to balance out the fat. Because what I believe happens is that coconut pulls a little bit of that fat in from the almond. So then it's not just an oily baked good.
And then with the almond flour, as you're playing around with it, again, tried and true recipes that you find online, they're going to have done the work for you. But if you're experimenting with it, and you're using that almond flour, because it's that wetter flour with like a higher moisture content, you might need to use less liquid. But on coconut flour, you might even need to double your liquid.
That is actually true.
But again, if you go, gosh, this is way too much for me to think about, find some recipes online.
Yes.
And with the Swerve sweetener that we're talking about that Ben is the director of sales for, but their website has hundreds.
Yeah, we have over like 400 recipes, tried and true. We've tried them ourselves. So we wouldn't put them out there unless we thought you enjoyed them.
And when you look at the pictures, they're gorgeous. It makes you want to try them, but they've already, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to get out your calculator. They've done all that stuff for you.
That's correct.
Right. The other thing to think about with flour is, okay, if it's almond flour or coconut flour, not only are they a lot lower carb, They're a lot higher protein, higher in healthy fats. So they've got all in higher fiber. Yeah. All the stuff we want more of, the stuff we want less of is not in there. But they don't have gluten. So that's a big difference in baking.
So that makes it a little bit tricky too, because you have to figure out if they don't have gluten, how will this bind? How does it come together? How does it stick in a sense if you think about it in that way? And so I use things like gelatin and xanthan gum. And I find that those, you don't have to use a lot, but I find that those do really well as acting as a binder in your baked goods.
And so gluten kind of gets a bad rap. You know, we see gluten-free on everything, so, oh, it must be bad. But actually, in baking and in wheat products, gluten has the purpose that it serves to give, like, structure and kind of that firmness. And if you don't use gluten and you don't have a gluten type of ingredient, then you may say, man, I spent all this time making these gorgeous cupcakes, but they came out like this crumbly mess.
Right.
And that's because...
And don't cry.
Don't cry. Just add xanthan gum.
Right. Just add xanthan gum.
So the gelatin Ben's talking about, if you think about gelatin, and everyone's familiar with Jell-O, and you know it kind of holds its shape, holds its form, think about what's gluten is doing in those wheat flours that it's in. So when we switch from the wheat flour to a gluten-free flour like almond flour or coconut flour, we've got to add something in. So if you're looking at recipes and you see, oh my gosh, it's just a quarter teaspoon of xanthan gum, I could probably leave that out. You shouldn't.
No. Right. It's not going to happen.
And then you might see gelatin and, well, that's weird. Why am I putting gelatin in this recipe? But that's why. And then protein powder is another that'll often be in there.
Yeah, that can also. And the thing with xanthan gum, do not get scared. It is a little bit more expensive for a bag of it. They do have it in smaller packets.
It's like $10 for a bag?
It's like $11.99, okay. $10 to $12. Let's call it that.
But it'll last you forever.
It will last like 4 years, that bag. Now, gelatin is a little nicer because it's in all stores and it's a lot more inexpensive.
Yeah. And that's, again, kind of back to what people are familiar with. They're familiar with gelatin.
Yes.
But either of those, when you are switching to those other flours, be aware that that's going to be a key component is what are we going to add in there to kind of provide that gluten function of kind of holding it all together and giving it that texture.
Yep.
And then so with the sugar replacers, whether they're using Swerve or they're using their own favorite plant-based natural sweetener, most product websites will have kind of the conversion factor as far as like instead of a cup, use this much.
Yeah, that's totally right. And that's always helpful to have those tools. The beautiful part with Swerve is that we are cup for cup.
Right.
So if you don't like to do math, which I do not, or you don't want some of those conversions... Also, I want the bulk that I get from a cup of sugar. I'd want the same bulk from my sugar replacement.
And that's a big thing that you don't get. So if you're using the pink, the blue, the yellow, they're so sweet.
Yeah.
They're not very bulky. And when we say bulky, that's what, you know, sugar in a baked good, it sweetens it, but it gives it moisture, it gives it bulk, it gives it texture, it caramelizes. So you don't get that if you're using those artificial ones. So you also say that a lot of times you can just use less sugar than what the recipe calls for.
Exactly. So for instance, frosting recipes oftentimes call for 3 cups of powdered sugar with 2 sticks of butter. I used to do this back in the day, Molly, like with Paula Deen and Martha Stewart. And I thought nothing of it. I served it to everybody. It was insane.
Mm-hmm. And they loved it.
They loved it.
But you got married recently and you actually, your wedding cake was gluten-free,
it was gluten-free, grain-free, almond flour, coconut flour. And then, of course, it was the frosting was made with Swerve, too.
And everyone loved it. It was gorgeous and delicious.
And, of course, I didn't tell anyone, but I'm sure they knew. At this point in my life, if you're at my wedding, you should know that my cake is going to be healthier for you, and it won't spike your blood sugar.
It looked like something out of a magazine.
It was beautiful. Yes. 4-tiered. Yes. I was very, very happy with it.
But I think that, kind of jumping off onto that for a second, I think that is like a fantastic example of, this is how you live your life now. And this is how these are the foods you put into your body and how you fuel your body. And it's what you really believe
in. True.
And so then why, when we have a special event, do we kind of revert back to those old
habits?
Well,
that was my struggle. I was like, I'm not going to have a wedding where I'm not going to eat the food that is served. And also, if this is my value, my food value system, why would I give that to other people if this is how I live my life?
I think so. And it's kind of like, okay, you take a healthy dish to a tailgate or to someone's house if you're going over there for a party or a dinner.
Yep.
That's a whole nother level when it's your wedding.
It
but
is.
To kind of still have that consistency and really those are your core values and you're staying with that. But I think it's also a great educational tool for people because you're exposing people who have no idea to it. So
exactly.
I love
and people
that.
Should have options. You know, life is about options.
Right. I love it. I love it. So, okay. So what are some of your favorite desserts that you've kind of made over? And also just like kind of what got you into the whole passion of baking?
Oh yeah. So, and this will lead into my favorite desserts. So I grew up in Alabama. So that's where my little accent comes from, if y'all have heard it over the podcast.
Nobody notices.
Nobody notices. It slips out a little bit. But my grandmother was in Georgia, and she would, every time we went to visit her, she'd have a lemon butter cake waiting for us. Now, I thought it was just the best thing I've ever had in my life. Crave it at all times. Even as I grew on, even as she passed on, I wanted it. So later in life, though, I asked her how she made it. She showed me an old school recipe card. Mm-hmm. And she basically used like a Duncan Hines moist lemon cake mix and threw in some lemon jello.
And that was it.
That's all.
And then you and I did a segment with this, though, and you remade it completely from scratch.
Exactly. But it had to have the same texture, same flavor, profile, everything. It had to remind me of my grandma.
I feel like that was one of your first big baking victories.
I feel like it was. It was the first time I really had stepped out and be like, I'm going to recreate this.
Yes.
And I'm just going to have to figure it out without any help or any tools from the internet. Cause we love the Google. And sometimes they can at least give me a base. And then I can work from there on my liquids and other flours or xanthan gum or whatever. But with hers, I had to start from scratch.
Yeah.
But I knew delicious. What the batter would look like. I know you did enjoy it, mm-hmm. didn't you? Mm-hmm. I made them this morning for them in the office because they were like, Ben, you're here. I need some lemon butter cakes.
I love that you could just whip that up too.
Well, yeah. I mean, now know? That's an easier one because you can actually, it's a one bowl kind of recipe.
But everybody else like, oh, they pour a cup of coffee. Maybe they get a cup of coffee for someone else. You're whipping up like, Grandma Raymond's lemon butter cakes.
I actually may have sprinkled some raspberries throughout it because we had them in the fridge. Because I love a lemon raspberry.
See, everybody wants to be Ben's friend for a bunch of reasons. Because you're a blast, but also they get to be your taste tester.
That's right. I love it so
much. Well, in
much.
This case, they're just taste enjoying. They're not yes. taste testing.
Okay. So it's a way for me to get closer to my grandmother. And one thing about cooking in general, we'll get back to some fine recipes, Molly. But one thing about cooking in general is that no matter where I am or where I travel, eating and enjoying desserts are really make me feel like I'm at home. Whether that be a chocolate dessert that reminds me of something my mom made or a sugar cookie, or it can maybe have some strawberries in it. I like when people come together around food and it just, I don't know. It just, it makes me go back to Alabama sitting around a table with friends and family all the time.
And it may be dishes that they haven't had before and you're able to kind of introduce them to something that's tradition to you.
Yes.
Done better for you.
Well, yeah. Cause we were talking about even my dad, he's type 2 diabetic. And for a while I had to like sneak swerve desserts to him because he would eat ice cream.
And he's conservative.
Like ice cream every.
Old school.
Yes. An old Alabama Southern judge. He talks like this a little bit. He does. He's like, what'd he say? Let me interpret. But the fun part about it is that I would make him like, I remember an apple pie and then I even made him some ice cream. And finally, after 3 desserts, I was like, so Dad, what'd you think? And listen, he's a man, if it did not look like it was made with sugar, and if it tasted funny, he'd throw it in the trash. And he'd go down the street and just buy him a pie. He'd probably eat the whole thing.
And he loved it.
Yes, he loved it. He thought it was wonderful. And now he knows that as a diabetic type 2, that he has an option for him, which I just really appreciate. And I know he deep down appreciates, again, that there's an option.
Deep down.
I want to believe that he thanks me every day for these desserts.
But I'm he kidding. Uses... Swerve
he does. He uses swerve and coffee, all that good stuff. And he'll even, like, we just came out with a brown. He gets overly excited about it. He loves it. He's like, he puts it on his oatmeal now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really nice. So he puts his brown on his oatmeal. It's great.
The swerve brown sugar, yes.
Swerve
yes.
brown sugar
Aww,
replacement.
I love that.
But back to dessert. So also, and we've made this before on the segment, blueberry cheesecake bar.
Yes.
Which is pretty exciting. Yes. And that was also one of maybe my second victory. And that is because it came from Stonewall Kitchen. Had a little recipe card. Again, recipe cards. I like them. But they had a little recipe card. I got it in the grocery store.
And what is Stonewall Kitchen?
So Stonewall Kitchen makes like jams and jellies, a little premium product. It always made me feel fancy when I bought them. They have really pretty branding. I like it. Mm-hmm. They drew me in. It worked.
So they had the recipe card.
They had this blueberry jam and then a recipe card using their blueberry jam, which is like a shortbread crust, cheesecake on top, then swirled in with their jam. So I was like, I craved this. I wanted. I used to serve it at parties. It was an ooh and ah. People loved it. You're laughing at me.
But people, an ooh and ah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
But people loved it. And I was like, I have to recreate this. So with a little almond flour, coconut flour, butter, and swerve for the shortbread. Then I made the cheesecake, but then I had to figure out how do I replicate as a healthier for you, this blueberry compote or compote.
I say compote, but it was on live TV that Ben discussed his blueberry compote.
Yes, because I think it's fun to say, you want some compote? It sounds a little Cajun here in New Orleans, don't you think?
I don't think it sounds Cajun.
I want some compote.
But it definitely gets people asking, what? Tell me more.
Yeah, it's fun. What are you saying? I just thought it sounded fancy again. But I was able to take some blueberries, cook them, throw in some swerve, a little lemon juice. I cooked the blueberries down, but then here comes the xanthan gum, just like a little bit, a fourth of a teaspoon, sprinkle it over it, whisk it in, put it to the side, let it cool for 10 minutes, and I had this nice little jam jelly compote.
Because it kind of tightens it up.
Tightens it up, and it's just beautiful.
And that was the first time you'd used xanthan gum.
Yes.
Did you think it was like a miracle worker?
Well, I was nervous. I was like anybody else.
Right.
Like, what is this expensive little bag that lasts 4 years?
Right. I love that. But I remember when you made that, that was another big victory. And it was something that was super familiar to you and also really important to you that the version you made didn't look any different, didn't taste any different.
Well, just because I'm eating healthier, I don't want to miss out on things I enjoyed again from my childhood and my youth that remind me of those memories of family and friends and get-togethers. I don't want to miss out on that
and
or give that up.
Kind of like then you have these, like it all kind of adds to your toolkit because that shortbread crust that you created for that has now kind of found its way into other desserts.
Oh yeah, cheesecakes, other bars, even just if you want just shortbread, it can make a cookie. It's pretty fantastic.
And then what are some of your other favorite recipes? Your mom has some that we did one of your mom's recipes.
We did. She loved it. She loved it when we spoke of her on air. So we're doing it again,
we're
mom.
We're doing it again.
She'll love it. So she made sugar cookies for every holiday. And literally, St. Patty's, Shamrocks, Christmas Tree, Valentine's Hearts, turkeys for Thanksgiving, pumpkins for Halloween. Made them. Ridiculously good. About a fourth of an inch thick.
Melt in your mouth.
3 cups of powdered sugar and 2 sticks of butter. Kind of frosting. She put it on there. Now, we always look forward to those, which is amazingly great. And my sister's now, I'm still working on transitioning family into having some options for them. With her healthier for you option of her cookie. But the interesting part is that my mom would even wrap them in wax paper when I was in college individually, put them in a shoebox and ship them to me. Somehow the way she wrapped them, they never got broken.
How many about would she send?
Oh, it was like 2 dozen. I could share with my friends or I could just hoard them and eat them myself. And don't think I didn't eat like 8 of those in one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You easily could. Oh, they were so delicious.
So good. I loved them. But also it was just sweet because that was my mom's way of like a servant heart or, you know.
But I think you're such a caretaker and that's something that, you know, having met your mom and she's so sweet, she's so giving and just like that, taking the time to individually wrap each one, you do that for things. You made Grandma Raymond's lemon butter cake this morning for everybody because they asked you.
I thank my grandma and my mom for kind of giving me, I guess, that gift or being that model for me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But also, again, food is that way I see is bringing people together. It's a path to the heart. And who doesn't get excited about desserts? Now, when I meet a savory person, I do look at them strangely for a minute. It's a little concerning. But then I move through and I'm like, well, what can I make you? I got a savory scone.
We got a savory scone.
Would you like me to throw that together?
You can call it a biscuit if you want.
A little biscuit, whatever you want. A scone.
I love that. And so I think just anybody hearing you, it's like, okay, this is completely approachable. You don't have to turn everything upside down. Just start to kind of think through what are your favorites? What are things that we can, you know, kind of take these gradual steps and clear that sugar, change out the flour, and you can do as much change as you want or as little change as you want, you know?
And it's kind actually true.
Yeah.
And again, there are recipes you can start with if you just want to take some baby steps.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like
and that's
that
what I love about it. Because again, that's where I started. And that was my evolution. And if it gives you a base in cooking in general, if you're baking or cooking, like think about when you're making like a pork tenderloin or whatever you may be making, or even salmon, just for Molly's sake, even salmon, you know, you may make the first base with some rosemary and some butter on your salmon. Now we're talking salmon.
Right.
But then you want to throw in, let's throw in some garlic and thyme the second time around. That's what baking's about. You get your base, like of a good vanilla cake or chocolate cake, then just throw some things in and add to it. It's really fun.
And once you have that base that you know works, all those other add-ins aren't, it isn't such the science that baking is, because then you're just adding the flavor and the fun.
Yeah, the spices.
So there's always something that you're working on or always something kind of cool that's something you got coming up. What do you have that you're excited to share with us?
Sure. So, you know, we were talking about how I'm going on a trip with my parents to Scotland, England.
Is it your mom and your dad?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be interesting.
When's the last time you took a trip like that with them?
It's been a while.
That's going to be interesting.
It will be. And my mom's already been like, do you think I'll drive you crazy? And I said, 100%.
But the fact that she's asking you is a good thing.
She has awareness.
Yes.
And I said, 100% you will, but we will have some alone time. We will schedule 2 hours of alone time during the afternoon for people to take naps or go have a coffee or whatever you need, just so we have a little space. So I think that's smart, no?
Oh, I think it's brilliant.
Listen, all about self-care.
Yes.
On all people's side. I'm sure I'll get on her nerves. Listen, she was like, I'm going to go slow. And I was like, well, I'm well aware. And I may go too fast, and I'll have to figure out to slow my pace down. Right. So it's cute. But we're going to go to Scotland and England. But then what's fun about that is normally when I travel, I try to take a class. So last time I was in London, I took a scone class. And that's why we talk about our scones. And we made one on air also, a savory vegan scone. So yes. Molly took my normal scone. And back in the day, I made my scones with flour, butter, and sugar, a little bit of sugar. Then I made it gluten-free, grain-free, sugar-free. And then Molly was like, I want it vegan.
Yeah. I can't remember why we wanted it vegan. There
I think
was a
you
reason.
Maybe just wanted a vegan option.
Oh, no. You know what it was?
You wanted to try
I had a column for NOLA.com. I was doing vegan treats.
Yeah. So we made a savory vegan scone. So that was funny. It actually turned out really well. I've got a vegan friend. And what's fun about the vegan scone is that the wedding, to come back to that, I had two vegan friends and I made them a vegan scone that they could have strawberry shortcake.
Oh, I love that.
They had an option.
Great.
Yeah. So I love
again,
that too.
Again, thoughtful. That's yeah.
Well, it was, you know, I want people to
so
enjoy
thoughtful.
Food.
Yes.
It's important.
It's wonderful.
But the fun part is that I was also in Canada to get back to England and Scotland. I was in Canada and I was talking to a person in Canada who was from Scotland and another one from England, and they brought up chocolate pudding.
Pudding.
I've never considered making chocolate pudding. I don't know that I've even made a healthier for you pudding. Pudding? Pudding? Is that how you say it? Okay, great. But the fun part is that I asked them to send me the recipe. They sent it to me again, like on a 1950s old recipe card, because I love it. I love traditional old school.
Like photocopied, like.
It was somebody's great-great-grandma's, you know? It's pretty fantastic. But so next week, I'm actually going to make that chocolate pudding. I don't know how it's different.
And this is something that they say is like a really popular pudding in Scotland and England?
In England, okay. Yes. In the United Kingdom, so I don't know that there's a difference.
I'm curious to see what the difference is of how do they make their pudding different than
what we do. I will report out. It sounds like we've got some segments to plan.
We have.
Around chocolate pudding.
Yes.
And things like that.
And here in the U.S., if you're going to do a quick version, it's going to be the instant, and it's
yes.
either going to be sugar or artificially sweetened.
That's correct.
And what I have done for that is chocolate pudding, but it's the packets. So it's artificially
okay.
sweetened.
Okay.
And you can just add protein powder to it, and it doesn't change it. You know what I thought was interesting there?
Tell me.
Side note on pudding. First of all, the packets I don't love because they are all artificially sweetened. But then if you try to use unsweetened almond milk instead of regular milk to cut your carbs even more,
yep.
it doesn't congeal. It just stays really liquid.
Isn't that interesting?
So coconut milk will, but
that
almond milk too.
Because it needs a little bit of fat.
Yeah.
In there to
so
make that happen.
I was trying to do my little protein pudding, accepting the fact that it was going to have the artificial sweetener. This was years ago.
Yeah.
But now I actually, because of the artificial sweetener, I haven't used those pudding packs in, gosh, a long,
well,
long
guess
time.
What?
We're going to
have some chocolate pudding. And what I even love about the chocolate pudding is, for instance, I love trifles, and that's where chocolate pudding takes me. Because trifles, you know, so you can easily do like a vanilla cake and throw in the chocolate pudding layer and then put in, you could do strawberries or some raspberries and then just layer that through. And how beautiful and yummy is that?
Oh,
sound?
Beautiful and yummy. And then I'm kind of your savory person that you give like the side eye to.
Yeah, I'm giving it right now.
Because I have a thing, chocolate and then a little bit of a heat with that cayenne in it. You know, I love that stuff.
Goodness.
I know.
That sounds very
maybe
New Orleans.
Cinnamon, cayenne, kind of like that.
Even she probably wants some turmeric.
Right? One thing, we were talking about how beautiful everything Ben makes is. We made one thing with turmeric. What was that? It was brown.
It
might
terrible.
Have been popsicles.
Brown, ew. It was a popsicle. Brown. I will tell you, that was one that Molly was like, I need a turmeric popsicle.
It was anti-inflammatory. And dark cherries.
Listen, just close your eyes when you eat it. It was fine, but it just looked nasty.
It was the least pretty thing that Ben has ever
it was,
made.
And let's again note that Molly requested that
Molly
recipe.
Molly requested it because sometimes what you have in your head as the nutritionist of, oh, it's going to be anti-inflammatory. It's going to have turmeric and dark cherries and all these things. You don't think about what it's going to look like.
Yes. And I know you can guess this, but we also don't use artificial food coloring.
Right.
And for those reasons, I've learned more and more when I'm looking at some of my gluten-free recipes, it's brown, brown, and brown.
Yeah.
So I'm on a berry kick. So we just made a triple berry frosting that is wonderful for a triple berry cupcake. And now we have a beautiful, like, berry colored pink frosting that is completely naturally colored.
And the last thing I think that let's talk about, because I'm so glad you said that, we didn't even think about it. We're talking about how to make all your favorite desserts better for you, but to keep it beautiful, that artificial food dye, we want to try to get that out. There's several different plant-based food colorings.
Yep.
Even McCormick has one now.
They do. And Watkins.
And Watkins
has one.
So look for those. You can even find them at places like Target.
Yep.
Like, and so just look by your normal food coloring, which people don't buy it because that's another thing that lasts forever. You've
right.
got it in your cabinet, but buy it so that you have the natural. And then they're usually like natural vegetable extracts to color it, but you can still get that vivid hue. Or you can use fresh berries like Ben does.
Yes.
But if you're like making all these other changes, let's get that artificial color and food dye out of there. Go more natural.
Now we've talked a lot about changes and I want to go back to baby steps. And again, you can find a base recipe or someone's done it online, or you can go to swervesweet.com to find a recipe. So I just want to make sure no one's getting overwhelmed.
Right.
Because we've talked a lot about new ingredients.
Yes. So you can go a little bit, you can go a lot. So Ben, thank you so much for spending the time with us and sharing just this wealth of knowledge.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. So
we'll have
your recipes at
swervesweet.com.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Y'all enjoy getting your swerve on.